Well, chef, what you get, Dinya, Gujian, DL Debate, then Misha, Brendan, O'Davna, and Shai Hailem. Radio, welcome to DL Debate. Are we tuned there to get us all going on the Monday night? I'm advertising for as a DJ, Joe. What do you reckon? A proper DJ here, Joe Dex, is with me producing as ever. Good man yourself. Joe, coming up on this evening's show on the DL Debate. First of all, of course, thank you, Ivan Borland, for the Power Hour Plus. A proper DJ as well. Keep up the good work. And of course, Donal Kavanagh in for the news there. Coming up later in the show, I caught up with Aaron Kiernan earlier today. We talked all things Gaelic football and his new role, along with Eddie Brennan, on the Meath senior football team as a coach, a defensive coach. But I think Aaron can do a bit of everything in there. Always great to catch up with Aaron. Just a word on the Donegal Masters, of course, playing in the All-Ireland Final next weekend, the Saturday the 13th, in Breffni Park against Tyrone. Tyrone going for five in a row. Donegal, of course, the last team to win that outside of Tyrone's dominance. So hopefully they can break that five in a row and take the cup home. We wish Eddie Crawford all the best. Big Brian McLaughlin as captain, and them get along and support them if you can. But first on the show this evening, it was another huge weekend in the club championship fixture, and I'm now joined by two men that know a thing or two about it. Niamh Connell Stalwart, John Gulday, and a man from the Banks, Ony McGarvey. What's the crack, man?
Not so bad, Brendan. How are you?
Good,
John,
good.
How are you?
I'm good, Ony. How are you?
Not so bad.
Was that music all right for you, Ony? You would like a bit of high kick in there. Be up your street. I can see you bouncing about to that one.
I would say you could, aye.
Just the hamstring might go in one of them big kicks. Oh,
the hamstring would definitely go, I can tell you that much.
We're not all as fit as Gilday there. He's even the Mount Argyll all the time, but he looks after himself rightly yet.
I would say that.
What do you think, Big John?
I am slowly declining, and I'm trying to slow down as much as possible. But as you well know, if I was doing high kicking 30 years ago, my hamstring would have went, so I wouldn't even attempt it now.
Definitely indeed, John, tell me, let's get the ball rolling here. Huge weekend. John, I want to start with the homeboys there, Niamh Connell. There was a couple of results in the weekend, definitely raised the eyebrow, and certainly that was one of them. John, what did you make of it? I mean, St. Michael's semi-finalists last year, did we take enough into that run that maybe St. Michael's went on last year, the team that they're building? Because certainly most people had that down for a Niamh Connell home win.
Yeah, I suppose if you were going on form over the last 20 years, you would suggest that it was a banker for Niamh Connell, and I suppose that's the way people were looking at it. But I suppose we're overlooking a couple of major things, and that is, I do think we've done St. Michael's a disservice in their run last year. And ultimately, St. Michael's would have felt that they should have been maybe in a final last year. They felt maybe left it behind it. So I know there were, you know, they have a lot of good young fellas coming through. And I know we were all hung up on the old guard and the Christies and Collins. But there's a new breed coming through there right now that's really playing the game expansively. Been driven on by Michael Langan, obviously. I think the other thing is that, you know, the absence of Kieran Thompson can't be underestimated from a Niamh Connell point of view. Like, he is the linchpin when it comes to making things happen, and even from a Donegal point of view, in an All-Ireland final, him coming off was a huge blow. And then thirdly, and I think this is more importantly than anything else, and I think this has had a dramatic effect on the championship as a whole, which I have to say overall has been a very interesting and entertaining championship, because if you looked at, you know, the four direct quarterfinalists, you wouldn't have picked those four straight out the gate. And if you look at maybe the so-called big two over the last 5 or 7 years, would have been Niamh Connell and St. Eunan's. They find themselves in the preliminary, but the new rules have had a huge impact in the game. You look at Termon coming up, or down in the Burn Road playing against St. Eunan's and really put it up to them. St. Noel's really put it up to St. Eunan's. And from a Niamh Connell point of view, they were very lucky to get out of jail last week against Downing's, who had a great performance. And then obviously Downing's went one step further and Bates and Knowles over the weekend and managed to get into the quarter final, which is huge from their point of view and huge steps forward. So the new rules are definitely having an impact in the game. And from a Niamh Connell point of view, a team that mastered the old system and how to grind out wins, adapting to the new game is proven to be maybe a bit of a struggle. And over the last 10 years, and I mean this respectfully to everybody who plays in the forward line, Niamh Connell, but we haven't been blessed with high-scoring, outstanding forwards that are going to kick two-pointers and do all sorts of things like that. And those changes in the rules, added to the absence of Big Kieran, have left Niamh Connell probably more vulnerable than they have any time over the last 10 or 15 years.
Yeah, interesting. Only, you know, John's on the presenter, who's not going to miss Kieran Thompson? And I think just when, so some of the times he played for Niamh Connell, he was unbelievable. He seemed to pull out scores every time they were required. He's a leader, a midfielder, all that. But, you know, turning to Martin Regan, the last day I was down at that game against Downance, you know, we're talking about Ethan O'Donnell being back. Basically, he's a county player. You know, Jack McKelvey didn't play last year. Another county panellist. You know, you've won McGettigan, another one. All from last year. And, of course, you've Big Gallagher in midfield. Like, he's a serious man in midfield. So, taking Thompson aside, you'd think that Niamh Connell would be stronger maybe than they were last year. And they were right in the mix, of course, last year.
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Owen McGettigan and you say Kieran Gallagher and Max Campbell, you know, another young lad that came in this year. Those three lads that didn't play last year, like you said, and that they're there this year. I was down at the Downings game last week and they just seemed to, you know, we would have all felt that they were going to beat St Michael's at home, but I think they're just looking for a spark of some sort to get them going, because they still had six county players on the pitch last week. I think I counted five yesterday. I know Jack McKelvey was missing because of his red card and that. I just feel, you know, the will still be there or thereabouts, or it's not really knockout yet that we've all been talking about. And, you know, they kind of knew yesterday that even if they had beat St Michael's, they weren't really going to make the top four, Brendan. And, you know, I just feel, you know, when it comes to the knockout championship, you know, no more than most other teams, if you have a bad day from here on in, you're out. And that's when we might see the new Connell of old. But it's definitely a worry for them, the way they're going so far. But I definitely wouldn't be ruling them out anyway.
Definitely not. And John, you touched on it there. There's definitely a huge change in terms of how we look at the best teams. Because I'm even looking at the quarterfinals and the top four that are up there. I don't think anybody really, I know you might say one or two in there, but I think anybody would think here, we could beat that team on a day. There's been an amazing levelling out very quickly, I think. And it's not just the rules. I think teams really have got their act together. A lot of great coaching going on there, John. And a big thing now, John, is the breeze. You know, you look at Niamh Connell, they won 10 in the first half, but Niamh Michael hit 2-11 in their second half with the breeze. And it's such a factor, particularly here in Donegal, that you capitalise as much as you can with that breeze.
Yeah, it's an added dynamic to the new rules that maybe they don't face in Dublin or down in the Midlands, where, you know, if you don't get it right with the conditions, then you're severely punished in the second half, because the two-pointer has had a massive impact on the game, more than any other rule, I would suggest. And that was shown throughout the whole county championships throughout the year as well. You know, Niamh Connell, with the conditions, are not scoring heavy enough. I know what Oni's saying is that there's always this apprehension from other teams. And indeed, I was talking to a St Union's man during the week, and I expressed my apprehension as regards how well Niamh Connell were going, and he accused me of couturism, which I took great offence to. But
that wouldn't be like you, John. You're a straight talker.
Well, no, on occasion I would be known to indulge in it, Brendan, as you well know, and really go to town on it. But I know what Oni's saying is that, like, they're traditionally a team that, when it comes down to real championship football, you would like to think that they would find something. But it's late in the year to start looking for a spark, because if you look at all their games they've played this year, you know, they haven't really upped the ante in any way, shape or form. And another player only we didn't mention earlier on, who really was only, you know, only coming into the squad last year, was Rorty, and he's developed a star. So you would look at Niamh Connell from minus Kieran Thompson, with all the additions, that they're absolutely would have been stronger than they were last year. Now, form can change. It takes one result and all of a sudden everything's back on track again. But if you were sitting in a Niamh Connell dressing room right now, or as a supporter, you would have to be apprehensive, because there hasn't been that spark anywhere throughout the year. And I suppose we live in the hope that they can turn it on. But on form, it's only a hope at this point in time.
Yeah. Listen, interesting stuff. And only I started with Niamh Connell because I John's on, and I wanted to get his views on it, of course, knowing that team inside out. But tell me, on the Kilcare Glen Swilly one, I mean, there was a game, only you're looking at these games thinking, right, I couldn't pick a winner in that. And then you've seen the scoreline. And, you know, I had actually a chat to Gary McDade yesterday evening. He was quite honest about it. And when he sums it up, the firepower that we all know Kilcare have had, that we've seen over times, when that's let loose in 11v11, you know, there's going to be trouble. And if they get it right, you know, after their league run where they were looking like possibly relegation, they came with that late, won the last five games. They've now come into the Championship. And here they are, as John mentioned before. We weren't expecting to see them in the top four, but there they are.
We weren't expecting, I would say, no more than my predictions on reading the Gaeltachta on Friday. They were just, most of them went out the window come Saturday and Sunday.
Stay away from the accumulators, I would say, that was
definitely one. I didn't have them down for the top four. We probably thought they would, you know, maybe one in Townie and that, you know, but like they put on a serious performance. But I just feel with Kilcare, I would feel that they would have been really disappointed last year. You know, it was their 100th year. They were playing a quarter final against St Michael's and Glenties. They were 10 points up. They missed a penalty, and they lost by a point. And everybody felt, you know, that was probably their last chance. You know, some of their players aren't getting any younger and all that. But I just feel with Kilcare that when they have their best team available to them, like we all know that Matthew McLean and Andrew McLean, they work away from home at times. I think Brian O'Donnell possibly is still working away from home or whatever. And the likes of last year and even the year before, they were coming home for games and fits and starts and maybe missing a game. But I do feel when they have everybody available to them that they have a serious outfit. And I think the new rules is helping them. Like when you're talking, you know, I know McHugh is injured and that, but when he's playing for them, Ryan McHugh, Mark McHugh, Paddy McBrearty, Stephen McBrearty, Kieran McGinley, Ryan McShane, Connor Doherty, I'm rhyming off. I could rhyme off another few players. And I just feel that when they have everybody available to them, that they have a really, really strong team. Maybe their squad is maybe not as strong as some of the other teams. But I do feel that when they have all their players available, that they have a serious outfit. And Ryan McHugh himself said it yesterday, it's their best performance in a while. And isn't it a great time to be coming into form?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, not that many teams will want to face Kilcare after that type of performance, because we all know Gary McDade teams, John, are going to be well set up. You know, and not only that, you know, Kilcare, which you'd think maybe defensively most of their strength is going forward, they only conceded 110. You know, only mentioned players there, you know, at a certain age. Kieran McGinley, this is 20th year in Championship. I mean, man of the match, 1-4. You know, we mentioned the likes of Matthew McLean. I mean, Paddy McBrearty that day out in the park, the opening day, you know, people might talk all club, county, whatever. He is top drawer. Some of the points he kicked, John, were out of this world. So, you know, if Kilcare can get their act together, I don't mean get their act together, but I just mean if they can get to their best, John, there's no reason why this team can't win the Championship. And if you had said that to me about 6 weeks, 7 weeks ago, well, this is not a chance.
No, I agree. And then if you want to even look even further back, look at Mickey Higgerty, you know, rolling back the years and the son playing as well. Like, you know, so I think we underestimated Kilcare. And I think that me personally, in a way, I didn't pay enough attention to how much of a dynamic the new rules will play within the game. And I've spoken to Kieran Cannon, one of your colleagues up there, and multiple Kilcare men over the years. And given the amount of talent that was in that Kilcare team over the last 10 years, I would feel that the feeling in Kilcare, and my feeling would be they would underachieve the less titles behind them. And I think part of that was, you know, maybe they just didn't have enough belief and one or two games went against them. They left a final behind them against Glenswally that they would never have expected to lose, and Glenswally turned them over. The other thing is that traditionally, Kilcare had a huge amount of talent and a huge amount of running power. And when they come up against the like of Niamh Connell and St Eunan's with the big physical block, it was very hard for them to penetrate and kick up big scores. And then defensively, they maybe weren't as strong as the other sides. The new rules have really given those players a lease of life. There's space now. You can't have blanket defences anymore. They have amazing running power. They have a huge amount of talent. And right now, you would suggest that they're the form side in the Championship with pedigree. And as you said yourself, if you give Paddy McBrearty half an inch of any ground, and there's loads of space out there for the Paddy McBrearty's of this world right now, he kicked points for fun. particularly when you have conditions in your favour, going back to your earlier comment, Brendan, where if you have the wind in your back in Townie and, you know, you're kicking points and Paddy McBurdy can, you know, tap it over from 55 yards outside the arc like it's a 21-yard free, it brings a whole new dynamic to the game. And that's ultimately what has happened here. Kilcar have adapted to the new rules because it suits their game, it suits their personnel. And the flip side of that, maybe it doesn't suit Niamh Connell as well because they don't have that kind of scoring power. And then probably somewhere in the middle, you have a kind of a hybrid version, which would be St Unions, who are probably still, given the fact that they didn't make it to the quarterfinals directly, still you have to beat St Unions to win a championship here. But Kilcar are definitely in the mix and laid down a big marker against Linswally, who had already beaten Niamh Connell and with Michael back and everybody else. So they'll definitely take some watching and they will take some beating.
They will indeed. And you'd have to hand it to Downing's, go down there and win as well. I suppose that's the game that's made us think maybe not all isn't well in Kilcar. Then they pull out this performance. But listen, sitting top of the pile of everybody from four is the men from Gweedore. And I got a couple of words with their manager, Rona McNeely, after the game yesterday. Must be delighted, you know, a couple of seasons. This is your third season in now, being a final, a semi-final, and you're really building a good squad here today. Of course, playing against the Breeze in the opening half went in, just 6-3 down, few wides from McCool's in there, but I think that might have a lot to do with your defensive shape as well, and then a brilliant start to the second half for you, Ronan.
Yeah, we were delighted with the first half. The only 3 points down, playing in, into that win was brilliant. Our defence was very much on top of their game there today, and Oisín had a few wides. But in fairness, I think there was pressure on him and all those shots he took on, and they missed a 45 or two. So maybe we were lucky at times, maybe to be in a three, only going 3 points down. But I would put a lot of that down to our boys' work rate, and so that was a great platform for us to build on for the second half, to only be 3 points down.
Yeah, blistering start to that second half where you flipped the whole game right on its head. You went from 6-3 down to 11-6 up. Some brilliant scores in there from the get go, from De Burka, from Neil Rorty, Ethan Harkin, Darrell Boyle, and Neil Rorty really on top form there in front of the goals.
Yeah, Michael has that in his locker, those points, and from range too. He's really added that to his game this year. Really, we're really seeing it. I think he's 2 or 3 points a game in the championship so far, so he's really playing well. Our first half going forward, we had a few chances. We weren't happy, we weren't too slick, we were a bit clumsy with a few things, and a few shots dropped short and getting blocked down. But we were a lot slicker then at the start of the second half, and we built up that good lead, which really made the difference going down the stretch.
And at that point at 11-6, it was looking like you were just going to, you know, see the game out, take control and just keep that scoreboard ticking over. But this ball dropping short, it must be a coach's nightmare, because there's a lot of things you can allow for in a game, but this ball dropping short, we've seen it last night in the Burn Road as well, can cause so much problems. And it was Rory Killahan up from corner back, got a flick on the ball, ended up in the back of the net, gave McCool's a huge lifeline.
Yeah, that was a real killer blow now, because we were kind of comfortable 5 points up, and when we had the ball we were comfortable, we were controlling it. And I think it was Sean Martin, he lined up an outside of the boot one, and he kind of, it's the most dangerous ball in football, I think, that one man goes for a shot and it drops short and you just don't know where it's going to go. So we wouldn't be happy at all there with the way that went, with that high ball going in, because it just gave them a lot of momentum to get back into the game. And then of course,
yeah, that was Ronan McNeely, sir. He's got time off now because he's getting ready for a quarter final. Ronan, listen, you're down there coaching Nivora. What about this ball dropping short? Should you be practicing at the training? Kick it in, pretend to go for a point and drop it short, because there seems to be so many goals coming off it.
Yeah. If you have the big man and anywhere around the square, it's as Ronan says there, it's the most dangerous ball in football, and probably. We don't try it enough, because it's seen, if nothing comes off it, it goes down on the sheet, as you know yourself, as a missed chance, and people be given out on that. But I'd be a believer of definitely trying it a few times in each half anyway, just to test the full back line.
And keep them honest.
It puts them on their toes too. Like if you put somebody tall or big and strong in, if you're not hitting it into them, the other team can push out towards the 45 in you, whereas if you're letting ball in, you know, you have to put a man in front of that fella then, and it might free up a bit more space. So yeah, it's one that's coming back all right. And John would have touched it as well. Look at the new rules have definitely changed the dynamic of the game, and I just feel that since the league started as well with club football in Donegal, that the forwards, you know, the shooters, as we call them, they really upped their game as well. And any club player now, you know, at the start of the league, they were probably missing a lot of them. But I just feel now that if they get a half a chance now outside the arc, they're really going for them, and they're really putting, you know, a lot of them are going over the bar. And like a 6-8 point lead now is nothing. I think Glenties had a 6-point lead yesterday, and I think St Michael's got two pointers at the start of the second half. And you know, it's only a 2-point game then, but it's the whole momentum swing then that comes with them 2-pointers, I think, is the big one. And it's a huge dynamic in the game now, to be honest.
Yeah, it is indeed. And John, you know, Oney was texting me earlier just about the championship format and about, you know, maybe changing it up this week on week, because Oisin Gallen went off injured there. Should he miss this pre-quarter final, there's so little time, John, to get ready. You know, I was looking at the eight teams in the quarterfinals. Obviously, you could go with Kilcarrad and Lone Michael's top of Downing's against Sean McCulls, Killy Beggs, Neve Connell, Terman, Unions, Glenswally, Four Masters. Only two of them sides actually won at the weekend. So a lot of teams going in there, John, with a defeat into the quarterfinals. And for McCulls, it'll be. Listen, they obviously showed a lot of spirit in the game, but they're going to need Gallen.
The RI and Oisin, you know, is a fantastic footballer, but he is injury prone, and the heavy workload of week on week is definitely has a big demand. And then the other thing that has to be taken into consideration is, you look at the season that Oisin Gallen and the rest of the county men have had over the last 4 months, 5 months, even since the start of the league, and those men are all coming out of that. And as you can imagine, you know, 6 month training camp with Jim McGuinness, and you're not going to come out, you know, all shiny and bouncy as well. You're going to come out with niggles and tiredness and everything else. And then to throw those men into a week on week championship contest as well, I think was very unfair. I think they needed a little bit more time just for mentally to recover and physically to recover. And then you see the likes of Oisin and guys picking up knocks and picking up niggles. So it has an impact, but I suppose that's championship football. It's always been the way, you know. You can moan about it or whatever. Downings will see this as an opportunity. They'll see a vulnerability in McCool's. And they're going well. They've played well. You know, probably should have beat Neve Connell. Did beat Kilcare. So they'll see this as an opportunity. So
came very close with Dunlow as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So they're really competing, John, at a high level.
And again, that goes back to the coaching all around the county that's been done right now. The game, I think this notion that, you know, a couple of years ago there was a big four, and then for a couple of years there was a big two. The pack has definitely, the big two have definitely come back. The big four have definitely come back into the pack, and the rest of the pack have really upped their game. You look like Terman have had a phenomenal year. They're Gaeltacht champions. They nearly won an All-Ireland Gaeltacht, and they're league champions. Now, if you'd have said that 5 years ago, people would be kind of going, well, that's probably a bit of a stretch. But they're really in that kind of same trajectory that Glenswally had for a number of years, where they came from kind of nowhere, you know, soldiering in Division 2, intermediate football, and now challenging at senior level. And, you know, I know Unions have played them twice this year and didn't get it easy, so there's nothing easy there. So there's a real change in, or feeling of the changing of the guard, in the sense that all those teams believe now they can compete against the big guys. Like Dunlow were in the final last year, and you know, up until a couple of minutes ago they were still in the game. So they've come into this year with huge belief and have churned out some great performances. For
thanks
Masters,
to that penalty, John.
Yeah,
we've forgotten about that penalty now, have we? That controversial.
Well, what penalty? He was offside, was he?
The penalty that nobody seems to know anything about. Yeah, listen, let's hope we don't get that in this year's county final, whatever happens.
No, but fingers crossed. But you're assuming you're going to be in it, so let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I never said you're in it. No, yes, yes. In the county final. Look, he's stirring the pot now.
Even going back to Gador, if you look at now, if you're looking ahead for maybe the next 5 or 6 years, and again, probably prophesizing a little bit down the line, there is definitely a change in the air. That's a very young Terman team coming through. It's a very young Gador team with a whole host of minors and under 21 championship winners over the last 5 or 6 years. They have pedigree. And then you look at that Four Masters team that have won everything at underage coming through. So I think the next couple of years are going to be really exciting in Donegal, because I do think there will be a big changing of the guard to a certain extent. Yeah. And I think the new rules have definitely added a dynamic. That, like, that two-pointer, not only is it 2 points on the board, but as Oni said, there's a huge emotional attachment to that two-pointer right now. It's seen almost like a goal in old money. Like, it's a game-changer. The crowd lifts, everybody lifts. So all those dynamics are leading into what has been a very good championship so far. And I think the next, you know, 3 to 4 weeks will be exceptional. What I would say is, if the county board's listening in, as I can imagine they're listening with bated breath to find out what the three of us are talking about, I do think there has to be a level of respect shown to the championship itself, but also shown to the team and players. Like, I don't think there's any need to run the championship off in 8 weeks and, you know, have really top-class players missing important games, are the showcases of our county game.
Yeah, brilliant. And you know what? That's what Oni was messaging me about earlier, just about changing and build up to big games and all, John, which we're maybe missing now around. They just seem to be coming all the time. John mentioned two-pointers there. Oni, your neighbours in Dunloe, four Masters. This was another fascinating game. You know, we're talking about coaching out there and different players, Barry Dunyan, Desi Geller, doing great jobs. And it was a Shane McGee last kick, more or less two-pointer for Dunloe to edge a draw there. And again, as we're saying, only these teams are up there now. They'll fancy their chances this season of taking anybody else out.
Yeah, they definitely will. And the, you know, that one, the point that Sean McGee got, the two-pointer, that if he didn't get that, it was Unions were going to get that fourth spot. They were going to be ahead of Dunloe. Dunloe ended up in fifth spot, you know, and that. So that was a big score for them to get in that. And just from talking to a few Dunloe ones who were at the game yesterday, they were seriously impressed with four Masters. You know, Dunloe would have a physical team. You know, we know that they really put in a lot of work this past 3, 4, 5 years, and we know, but it seems four Masters weren't really found wanting in that regard yesterday. And Kevin Muldoon, you know, was playing for them. I think he kicked 3 2-pointers for them. Senan Carr, Connor Reid, Connor McCall was playing. You know, I think they were impressive, and you know, they got the draw. They'll be happy enough with that. You know, but they were very close to getting a victory down in Dunloe, and we all know that is not easy, not easy got. And just on the Dunloe side of it, they have the week off now, you know, from where they were, we'll say three or four years ago, they dropped down to, it was 2020, Dunloe got relegated out of the senior championship after being up for something like 33 years. They got to the intermediate final in 21, they lost to Clonmacnoise after a replay. They won the intermediate in 22, they got beat by Gweedore in the preliminary quarter final in 2023 and got to the final in 2024. So that's like, people sometimes think, you know, that they don't want to drop down to intermediate and that, but I always use Dunloe as a kind of benchmark for that. Then they went down, they regrouped, and sure, look where they are now. Like I say, county finalists last year and second in the group this year, a week off, and looking into a quarter final, and will be Desi and his backroom team will be really happy at where they're at, Brendan.
Yeah, great work done to them. Of course, Frank McGlynn's Glenn Fun finally got a victory, and listen, after a good league, he's definitely building something there. Had a great 5-17-2 against our draft. You see the picture of Danny Walsh's block and the Donegal People's Press on Gearn Brady. I mean, talk about footblock. I think it was a soccer match. It's a great picture actually in there. St. Noel's, of course, got their first victory against Downings. Keane McBride missing for Downings, hit a lot of wides, but fair play to them. Gavin Mulroney coming up, not only saving but hitting points at important times and hitting long range scores. He is top class at long range kicking. St. Junan's Tierman, they have to play again this week. John, maybe a couple of goals, bit unlucky, maybe goalkeeping error for the first one anyway, John, and again one of those drop short ones gave Junan's 3 goals in that first half, but Tierman coming back, rallied well in the second half, gave them a bit of confidence going into this pre-quarter final.
No, absolutely. The team that's full of confidence, as I said earlier on, they've had an amazing year. It's a free hit for them because the expectation will be that Union should win that game. But, you know, Tierman will come with the bit between their teeth and they'll give it a real rattle. Is lending itself to longer kicking. And on occasion, every now and again, it won't go over the bar, it won't go wide, but you'll miscue one and then one will land at the edge of the square. The keeper will drop one in. So you're seeing more and more of that kind of thing. Yeah. Unions are, I would say, are motoring along without setting the world alight. I think there might be a level of county hangover with them as well, in the sense that a lot of the county lads haven't really, you know, picked up the pace yet. But given the amount of talent they have, the strength and depth they have, you would feel that they're going to have a big say in the championship. They're defending champions. They're not going to roll over easy. They're building from last year. And, you know, you'd expect them to win. But in saying that, they expected Neve Connell to beat St Michael's, and that didn't work out. And Termin, as I said, will come with a real rattle at it, a free shot. There'll be a big crowd.
Yeah, it's knockout now, John. That's it.
Aye, and it's down to real football now. And, you know, you only can judge teams on real football. And up until then, I went to one or two games early in the rounds, and it was worse than a league game. They're just, people went through the motions to a certain extent. Yeah. There always seemed to be, you know, there's another day. And as only pointed out, even St Michael's and Neve Connell, no matter what happened in that game, from a Neve Connell point of view, they were going to end up where they were going to end up anyway. It was more beneficial from a St Michael's point of view. So we'll know a hell of a lot more after this weekend as regards where, you know, where the likes of McCool's are, where Neve Connell are, where St Union's are. And that's going to be, the, you know, then obviously they go into the quarterfinal proper if they get through the week after. But it's all up in the air. Right now, you'd be a brave man to pick a team that's, you would think, outstanding team. But again, if you were looking at it, you would think pole position would be Kilcare and St Union's at this point in time. And Gidor are going incredibly well as well.
Yeah, they are indeed. That was a great wrap up of the Senior Championship. Thank you very much, John Gildea, for joining us this evening. John, me and you'll catch up down the tracks.
Absolutely. Only look after yourself. Thanks, Brendan.
Top man.
See
John,
you later.
Thanks so much for joining us. Only, we're actually down, we're, as ever on the show, you're fighting the time. Only, listen, I just got some of the fixtures here. Obviously, the quarterfinals and intermediate are up. Your own men are obviously involved. You know, we've got Mallon, Neve, Patrick, Keane, of course, last year's junior champions, Milford against your own men. There's a couple of relegations in there, Burt and the Rossa, and what am I looking at? Gate Fannett and Cloughaneely. You have Neve Columba and Buncrana, and who am I missing there? Red Hughes and Bundoran. So yeah, lot happening in intermediate. We're getting in, as they say, this is the crunch time now.
Yeah, this is the crunch time. I think maybe when I was last on to you, I was saying that just in the intermediate and probably in the senior as well, it's all about getting into the quarterfinals. And you know, the way the intermediate works out, you know, the first team plays the eighth team and second place plays seventh and all that. But it doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really, the teams are so close together in the intermediate that it doesn't really matter where you finish, Brendan, because you know you're going to get a tough game at the quarter final anyway. And like I say, all them eight teams that are there, we're all happy to be there, and we're all out this weekend now, and it's knockout football. And look, there's a few good games there in the Columba versus Buncrana. You know, that'll be a tight one. We played Milford at the same stage last year and we got one over them. So no doubt they'll be out to get one over us this time. Mallon and Muff, who have already played each other in the championship, came up against each other again now in the quarter final. And then Red Hughes, who have been going well. Yeah. You know, look, you have to remember they have two county players in the ranks, and Stephen McMenamin and Johnny Carlin. So any team who has started intermediate level are going to be good, and they're coming up against Bundoran, who have Jamie Brennan. So, look, plenty of good ties to come on that as well, Brendan. And look, every team is there's no safety net now. But you know, it's all on the day now. And if you don't play well, your season's over.
Yeah. And listen, that is the shout now. We're really looking forward to this as it heats up. Of course, the Junior Championship as well. We'll get a bit of a talk more on that next week if we can balance the time. Only sorry to rush you on that. Thanks for that wee recap on the intermediate. As I say, it was tough getting through everything this evening. We're going to take a wee break, folks, and I'll be back then with Aaron Kiernan. Thanks very much, Only.
No bother.
Yes, folks, welcome back. Earlier on today, I caught up with AK Aaron Kiernan. Here's what he had to say. Aaron Kiernan, as ever, welcome to the DL Debate. Good to catch up with you again. How's things, my man?
Oh, it's good, Brendan. Life's good. We had a good summer. Well, obviously the last weekend of it didn't go the way you would have planned in Donegal, but I just think in general terms, certainly very positive summer of football. And yeah, we're all full-blown club mode now at this stage. who are we playing, who are we potentially playing next week. So the week's fairly flying whenever you have so many games to look forward to.
Mm. Do you know what, Aaron, it's interesting you just mentioned that. I was talking to somebody yesterday at a game about that. You know, context is a big thing, because obviously from that final, a lot of talk about Donegal and how they played, performed, tactics, etc. And people was on about, you know, that side of it. And I was like, yeah, but if you take this in context to where the fourth Donegal All-Ireland ever for Donegal and where Donegal were a couple of seasons ago, you got to take everything in, Aaron. And as me and you, Willie, spoke quite a few times on the smaller fish, the Donegal system was working, you know, up until, you know, again, even when Jim came back, Ulster champions twice, semi-final last year, final this year. So did it take something like this for maybe a change and maybe mindset, particularly with the new rules for Donegal they now look at in the off-season?
Oh, absolutely. And Wally throws the Ulster narrative at myself and yourself in particular. Yeah. But yeah, like, if you asked anyone from Donegal that was in Park Esler, what was that, 3 years ago, whenever you're getting well beaten by Down in the Ulster Championship, would you take two Ulster titles, an All-Ireland semi-final and All-Ireland final appearance? They all would have said absolutely, they would have talked the hand off yet. Now, that doesn't take away from the All-Ireland final, probably the flatness in performance, where you've never got anywhere near the pitch of it that you would have liked. Now, you can put a bit of that down to tactics, or you can put a portion of it down to tactics, but you also have to put in, you know, just everything that comes with an All-Ireland final. And unlike, say, maybe times previous where you had maybe that month to build up to it and plan and prepare for it, you don't have that anymore. And obviously the hype that would come with Donegal getting to an All-Ireland final, like, it's nowhere near the same comparison to what the boys in Kerry would have been experienced. You throw that into it as well. But yeah, ultimately, I think whenever you look at it, Donegal won't be happy that you never hit anywhere near the heights that you wanted to. The same energy levels weren't there. Throw in the bit of bad luck with injuries, the Thompson, McHugh, etc. Just one thing after another led to a flat day and a disappointing day. But I do think that there will be... there'll be a bit of a reboot in the system. There'll be a tweak in the system. And ultimately, to be fair, it's not just Donegal. Kerry showed the way against ourselves, Tyrone and Donegal. The skill set that they had, the slight tweak in terms of how they defended. So I think it was a learning curve for absolutely everybody. But you'd be very, very foolish to think that the top men and the likes of a Jimmy McGuinness aren't taking notes and aren't looking and plotting and planning to what's going to look different in 2026.
Yeah, I'd say there's a lot of plotting and planning going on all right there. And Luke Baird, as we understand, is going to leave that backroom team at Donegal. It remains to be seen what happens there as someone else coming in. Aaron, but you yourself, of course, have you know, been doing your bit out there coaching. You joined Tony Mack last year at Sligo. There's rumours of you going here and there throughout, I think, the early part of the summer. But Robbie Brennan has put the call out to you, Aaron, in a very exciting position coming up with Meath, All-Ireland semi-finalist last year.
It was a call sort of out of the blue from Robbie. But, one that's... It's always a privilege to be asked. You look at no different than yourselves. You're just a county with history, tradition. Say myself in particular, so many household names or players you would have looked up to as you were growing up, saying that the Meath team sort of late 90s, winning Leinster's, winning All-Irelands, etc. So yeah, to have the opportunity to go into a county. So to probably... They took huge strides this year, but maybe not much different than yourselves. The potential has always been there. The playing population has been there. The history and tradition is there. For one reason or another, it seemed like they were struggling to pull it all together. But definitely huge strides were taken this year. They've probably put themselves up on a bit of a pedestal now, you know, in terms of getting back to that Leinster final, making the semi-final. But it was particularly the teams that they beat. Do you know, did you beat Dublin, Cork, Kerry, Galway in one summer? That to me would tell you that there's obviously quality there, but there's plenty of consistency within that group. And then obviously
Probably a bit disappointed. Aaron, no more than Donegal in their final game with Donegal in that semi. It didn't seem to be the same myth from those games that you mentioned.
It is probably similar to maybe your All-Ireland final. Obviously, I've only had a few conversations. So in terms of sitting and looking down and going into the nitty-gritty of what happened on that day, to me, they may have ran out of a bit of energy. They may have struggled just to cope and adapt with the style of play that Donegal brought them on that day. And Donegal just played with huge energy. And whenever that opportunity came to put the game to bed, Donegal really went after them, put the foot in the throat and made sure that whenever they headed to an All-Ireland final, they were doing so in style. So absolutely, I would imagine for both their management team and players that was a sobering day, maybe a bit of a reality check, a bit of grounding for them. But I think, again, similar to yourselves, if you look at the season as a whole and the teams that I had mentioned, who they beat in championship football, you take an awful lot out of that last day because you always learn more from defeat mostly than what you do in winning. But take plenty out of that game, but don't let it mirror over everything good that you had done throughout the rest of the year. All those top performances, literally identical to yourselves, in terms of what you did in that All-Ireland semi-final, the Ulster final, that first half against Monaghan, you go right back to the start of the championship, just complete control and everything been on the one page and everything that you planned for working. So if you're getting the latter end, Brendan, of All-Ireland series and you're doing it consistently, you're doing a huge amount right. Yeah. But it's these wee fine margins that you can brush up and that you can improve that ultimately makes the difference to go on to double provincial champions to All-Ireland champions, which is ultimately what the goal would be for yourselves.
Yeah, yeah. And Aaron, you look at some coaches and some of the roles they take up around travelling. Is Meath a good fit in some ways for you in terms of how far their training area is from your home place? And are you now set up to, are you going under Meath as it is to watch club games at the minute? Have you time?
I am, yeah. Huge difference now compared to Sligo, Brendan. Yeah. Sligo on the weekdays back and forward there, say 2.5 hours maybe over and back. Friday evenings maybe 3 hours over. A huge difference in terms of distance covered and the type of roads. You know what I'm talking about there. It wouldn't be straightforward getting from Crossing Glen to Sligo, where really the majority of what I'm doing, you're travelling down the motorway and heading across by Slane. Their training base would be similar style and quality to what you would have yourselves up in Convoy, and it's just based outside Navan. Much easier commute. And to be honest, one thing that I'm sort of looking forward to is whenever I sat and I look back at my time with Sligo, which was brilliant and I really enjoyed, I felt I never got enough time to speak one-on-one with players, or maybe if there was stuff. Whenever I left and I was thinking about all the players that were there and did I see any improvement, did I personally feel I added anything? There's a lot that I felt I would have liked to have done more with, but it was just, by the time myself and Tony Mack would leave Cross McGlen, get into Sligo, you're having a meeting with management. A lot of times they're doing pre-training weights. You're on the field. Some times they're doing post-training weights. We have a 2.5 hour journey home. So an actual physical one-on-one conversation with a player, I found my time was fairly limited. And that was something that I was disappointed with and something that I felt, would have been beneficial for both me and the players. So hopefully that's something that will be a bit easier to do this time around, because obviously the commute to Navan is that bit easier.
I know what you mean. It's a vital thing you're not in a rush to get away. You just need to get up the road. You need to get back. You have a family, you have work, you have everything else going on. Whereas now you might have that bit more time to kind of engage and go and talk and be a bit relaxed, and I'm not under pressure to get in and get away. And those wee points in relationships, I think, are vital in any squad, Aaron, surely. Aaron, we had the strange scenario last year, obviously, but I think it was the strangest news of the year when Justin McMahon and Martin Corey left the coaching backup. Is that anything that would worry you going into this around that happened last year with two coaches that came in like yourself?
Absolutely not. I'd never met Robbie or had conversations with him, but obviously he just dropped a text message and asked for a chat if it was something that I was interested in. But I have to say, from what I've seen and what I've met, just very, very personable person. Obviously, we just had a brief meeting and interaction with the rest of the management team, and it's not something that I have absolutely any concern about whatsoever. I take him at face value, and even him and his personality and my conversations alone is something that's added to my excitement of being able to join that management team, and then obviously getting to meet with the rest of the management team. That only sort of moves it on another step.
Well, listen, Aaron, there's no doubt the man has, you know, something about him, and you can see that from all the players coming through. It was just such a strange story last year, but from the players' perspective, and then, you know, you can see any system and any squad that's on the up, and there's no doubt, and Robbie had them on the up. You know, he's come out to you now. You know, we've got the new rules, and I know Aaron in many ways this defensive coach, but you can see the whole game for what it is. So it's very exciting now, as you said, because of the meet, the history, and because of the buzz that's created in the county now. And even, you know, we looked at it last year, and particularly Wally was beating the drum, in fairness to him, from the get-go about this Meath squad and this Meath team. So now you're in there, Aaron, you know, and as I say, I think this Robbie Brennan guy is an amazing character. It was just this kind of strange side to you last year. I can't figure out how that happened, but for you now, getting in here now, Aaron, in terms of your input, so is it that kind of defensive role, or are you just seeing yourself as part of the overall tactical setup of Meath and the promotion of the team?
Yeah, well, Sligo was pretty definitive in terms of it was the defensive coach. Obviously, Tony Mack was the manager. Joe Keane from Mayo was the head coach, and he had 7 years done there. Your goalkeeping coach, I did defence, and then Mayo's Kevin McLaughlin was a forwards coach. So to me, it was fairly simple and straightforward. Know your role, stay in your lane, and add value to wherever opportunity you get, be that training or what's happening in game days or your reviews. Robbie is a bit more open-minded, and just sort of what you mentioned, he obviously you need to look out for the defence and that there, but very open-minded in terms of, you know, if you see that there's something that's can be improved on or something that's not working in terms of what we do whenever we have the ball. Yeah, absolutely. Be open-minded and speak your mind in it. So again, that's a slightly different dynamic than I was used to. But to me, everything's just built on trust and respect. And you know, whenever you go in somewhere, Brendan, and you've done coaching yourself, if you just feel comfortable in somebody's company straight away, to me, that's a huge thing. And like I said, I didn't know Robbie personally, but the few meetings that I had with him, it's very easy to just sit, shoot the breeze with him, and just talk openly. It's a bit that I have to say. I'm looking forward to give that wee bit more scope to look at the game a bit differently. But it's I would say predominantly you'll still have your main role will be to what's happening defensively. But he seems fairly open minded that everyone has that sort of bit of say, that bit of input, and then ultimately his head's over the door. So he is the main man. He's the man in charge, and that's something that's very easy for me to understand and to work with.
Aye, top class. Aaron, just fair play to you. We bit of juggling next year, so you've got your coach and your family, building a house. Small matter of all those things in the middle of a very wanted man on the media scale. You'll be doing all the juggling, but I'll imagine you'll pull it all off as ever, my friend.
Yeah, we managed this year all right, but and it is. It's hectic and it's busy and it's all those things, but sure. Isn't that what life is? You know, there's not a whole pile of time for sitting on sofas and putting feet up whenever you have a young family. And like I said, the job of trying to build a house. But if we did it last year and we were travelling the whole way over to the West Coast, over to Sligo, surely we'll manage what we need to do, just heading down the road to Navan. But we love it. So what else would we be at, Brendan?
If you want something done, you ask the busy man. That is you, Mr. Cairn. You get the job done. All right, listen, honest to God, wishing you all the best into this Meath role next season. I think it's a great appointment by them and a great appointment for yourself. That we'll catch up down the tracks, all right?
Great to chat as always, Brendan. Take care.
Top man there, Aaron Kiernan, as ever, giving us a lowdown on his new role at the Meath Football County coaching ticket for next season. I want to thank him for that interview. Of course, Owen McGarvey and John Gilday earlier. I want to thank Kenneth Wilson for recording this interview and Joe Dex for producing the show. Stay tuned for the excellent Monday night sessions coming up shortly.